And with me is County Commissioner from District 1, Frank Moe. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Jay.
Well, let's talk about yesterday's meeting. There are lots of stuff. I know there's a few things you want to talk about. Well, let's talk about two things having to do with planning and zoning to begin with, if you do.
Okay.
First of all, they want user-friendly software. That's always good.
Yeah, so the money was in a different budget, but we decided to appropriate the money for software for planning and zoning. You know, right now, if you apply for a permit for something, it's a file, and the file goes from office to office. And if the land department wants the file, they got to come over to the planning and zoning office. I mean, we're kind of mired in the 20th century there, and so they're our IT department and planning and zoning are purchasing software that you can track all your permits online. Ideally, you know, they can be updated from the field by staff. So, you know, the whole idea in the courthouse in general is to make it more consumer friendly. And mm-hmm. So this is, assuming it works, which it sounds like it will, this will be a big step in that direction.
Well, also, the planning and zoning has requested at least a temporary suspension of inspections, lakeshore septic inspections.
Yeah, you know, the county got a grant from PCA to Minnesota Pollution Control Agency to inspect lakeshore septic systems. You know, regrettably, a lot of them are out of compliance. You know, there's some challenges there, but there's a backlog of enforcement cases for the county attorney and for inspection work for our county staff. So the moratorium is just temporary. Let everybody get caught up, and then we'll complete the program that we got funding for.
A lot of talk from Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Anybody who's driven on 61 east of Colville, Hovland, and especially up to Portage knows how bad that road has gotten. We met with the highway engineer, the district engineer and staff up in Grand Portage RTC 2 weeks ago. People were pretty upset because that highway, 61, especially once you get to the reservation line, it just went to heck. And they rated it, and it's the poor quality, even by their own standards. And the county board also passed a resolution, and so that DOT came to the county board yesterday and said, okay, we've heard you. We're going to do an overlay on there, a temporary fix, and replace a bunch of culverts, do some patching, crack fill so the road isn't tenting in the next couple winters, and they're going to, you know, they'll eventually get to it. But full-on resurfacing isn't going to be for another 5 years. So they're hoping that this will get us through until then. And so are everybody who's driving up and down 61 are hoping to.
Well, and then after that, MnDOT was also there.
The TAP program, Transportation Alternative Programs, is a grant. I think the budget for the district was something like $1.2 million, maybe not even that, less than a million. And $600,000 of that went to the Highway 61 renovation through Grand Marais. I'm pretty sure that application was championed by Moving Matters, you know, Kristen Deruta Wharton and Marv Webb. And so congratulations to them and to Grand Marais to get that real competitive grant to help with that redesign of 61 and Grand Marais. It'll be a nice project.
And towers.
Oh, of course, towers.
Yeah, you were pretty active in that discussion. I happened to be there.
Yeah. You know, the state of Minnesota, this is a review for anybody who hasn't heard. The state of Minnesota has to adhere to a law passed by the legislature to cover 95% of the state in armor radio coverage. You know, so that's the statewide system now for emergency providers. To do that, they need a system of towers, and there's some gaps in coverage around Cook County. I mean, it's a hilly country, so yeah, of course there's going to be gaps. And so the discussion has been, how high do those towers need to be, and where do they need to be in order to get adequate coverage? And the county board has consistently said we want no towers over or 200 feet or over, because if you have it 200 feet or over, the FAA says you got to light them, and that changes the view and from the sky and the horizon. So we have not seen any reason to have any towers 200 feet or greater. And so we made that recommendation again for a proposed Cascade River Tower yesterday. There's some talk about a Seagull Tower out at the end of the Gunflint Trail. I think that's pretty premature. There's a lot of question, and County Board has question, too, of whether that tower is necessary or not at all. And so that's the kind of the remaining major issue in the armor towers, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more about it. So we'll be back.
Yeah. Well, it seemed to me that the representative from MnDOT was pretty open to working with the county and trying to stay within the county ordinances.
They've been very helpful, informative, giving us maps of coverage, which we've confirmed with our own staff. They're not trying to shove one of these things down our throats, at least not yet. And so we're grateful for that. But we're, you know, doing our work too. We want to make sure that our first responders, EMS, fire, sheriff have good radio coverage. But we also know that, you know, our economy and way of life is dependent upon the scenery here. And we don't want to ruin that either. So, we're trying to strike a balance. Hopefully we'll be done with this soon.
Okay, Frank Moe is District 1 representative from County Board, and we speak with County Board members on a rotational basis, so we'll look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, thanks, Jay.